Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is retired Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Lowry Gallowitz, and she's an author and here to discuss cultivating civilian veteran champions, and we'll get more into that in just a minute. But before we do, Kathy, it's really a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you, Scott, for all your hard work. I said, when are you up to like 340 episodes over the last 4 years, buddy? You got a mission. Thank you so much for including me in it.
That absolutely. And I'm glad to have you here. And without people like you who are willing to, first off, do the work that you're doing to make me, want to have you on the show, that is super important as well. But also for taking the time out of your day to come on and share it with me and the audience. I appreciate that so much.
I'm glad you have the technical know-how and the drive to do this because, we all have to work in areas of our strength, right? So I'm grateful for you too, buddy.
And we need to push ourselves outside of that comfort zone sometimes too. Right. I tell people when I first started this show, I didn't have a clue how to do anything podcasting related. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to figure it out. And here I am 4.5 years later and I'm still doing it. So obviously I figured something out.
I love it. And you're interviewing a lot of my friends. I think one of my friends referred you to me. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And it's the military community is such a small world when you look at it. Everybody knows somebody and then there's that cross connection. And, now we know each other. And then, there's going to be some other people who know you, who know me. And then there's just a ton of people, a ton of connections. And it's really a great source of information because there's so much inspiration out there in opportunities for providing people with hope who are sitting there maybe listening, feeling like they're all alone. They don't have anything going for them and all that kind of stuff. But that's couldn't be further from the truth.
Your testimony and your choices is certainly a great example for all of us.
I appreciate that. But I guess enough about that. Enough about me. Let's talk about you. This is, I think, what we're here for. Maybe for the listeners who aren't familiar with you, I gave you a little bit of information in the intro here, but could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. If I could, I'd just like to give a cliff note version of my life because it's really telling about, why I do what I do. So I grew up in a Navy family, an active duty Navy family, went to a French speaking preschool and kindergarten in Paris, France. So French was an early language of mine. Graduated from high school in Keflavik, Iceland, moving in the middle of my junior year in college. Then went to junior year in high school. Sorry about that. And then went on to college at the University of Maryland in Munich. Before the age of 35, I'd lived in at least 20 different communities between my youth and then my joining the Air Force. Air Force nursing was my first choice career, even though my dad was in the Navy. I had a great opportunity in the Air Force. And dad was, of course, supportive. He didn't care which service it was.
Sure.
And so I was on active duty for 6 years, have a total of 29 years of Air Force experience. The lion's share of my career was in the Ohio Air National Guard. So I went from being a nurse to being a public affairs officer. And the crowning achievement of my career was to build a statewide outreach program to educate and engage civilians in support of troops and their families. Scott, this was really important after 9/11 because, as you know, and our listening audience knows, that the reserve component was deploying like no time in our nation's history. And when 80%, I was in the Guard, when 80% of our workforce was part-time military, that meant that these citizen soldiers, citizen warriors, had either a full-time civilian job that paid their bills and where they got most of their support from, and or they were in college getting a college degree. So the needs of our people drastically went up. And, frankly, employers, were part of the national security team like they hadn't been heretofore.
Right.
So it was really important to keep civilians on our team, particularly employers. And so eventually we reached out from employers to lawyers and doctors and leaders of diverse communities, educators, and clergy to help them understand the needs of military veterans and to engage in ways that improve quality of life, workforce, or community. And that's what my book is all about. Beyond Thank You for Your Service, the Veteran Champion Handbook for Civilians. It's available on Amazon, and it showcases mostly Ohioans, about 20 different civilian veteran champions, chock full of practical strategies from no matter where you sit in society, if, whether you're a neighbor or maybe you're a Supreme Court justice, some small or big actions you can take to really make the lives of military connected people better in ways that also makes the lives of civilians better as well. So that's a pretty good overview. Well, last piece is you'll like this part. My first husband was Air Force. My second husband, Ed, was a career active duty soldier who has 4 combat tours. We lived in Ohio when we met, and now we live in Arizona. Frankly, came here because of the sunshine. Ed's 100% combat disabled, you know, veteran, service connected. Lots of aches and pains and stuff, and the sunshine just really makes him feel better. I love the sunshine, not the heat like he does, but I like the mountains and the incredibly veteran-friendly ecosystem of this state.
National security experts are warning our aging power grid is more vulnerable than ever. January marked the 3rd time a power station in North Carolina was damaged by gunfire recently. Authorities are saying the attack raises a new level of threat. Authorities are now checking our grid for vulnerabilities, and they've identified 9 key substations. If these substations are attacked, power could be knocked out from coast to coast for up to 18 months. Imagine a blackout lasting not days, but weeks or months. Your life would be frozen in time right at the moment the power fails. Lights all over the country would go out, throwing people into total darkness. That's why having your own solar power is more important than ever. With the Patriot Power Generator, you get a solar generator that doesn't install into your house. Because it's portable, you can take it with you and even use it inside. But it's powerful enough for your phones, your medical devices, or even your fridge. And right now you can go to 4patriots.com and use the code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase on anything in the store, including the Patriot Power Generator. You'll also get their famous guarantee for an entire year after your order, plus free shipping on orders over $97. And a portion of every sale is donated to charities who support our veterans and their families. So just go to 4patriots.com and use the code DRIVEON to get 10% off. That's 4patriots.com. Use code DRIVEON to get yours today. It is incredibly veteran-friendly out here in Arizona. The thing, though, I think that is important to point out is just the change in mindset amongst the civilian population from, let's say, that maybe Vietnam era through to what we're seeing now, completely night and day. The support for veterans back then was virtually non-existent. The services that were available and nonprofits that were available were few and far between. And what we have available today is just so much better. But I really do think it's because of people like you who have gone out and done the work to educate people about like what it is that people are doing when they're serving. They're not just going off into the woods and going on a camping trip, you know, when they're going out training, you know, especially the National Guard and reservists who have those full-time jobs like you were talking about. They're not just going out on a camping trip with their buddies, going fishing and hunting and, you know, all those types of things. They're going out and they're actually training so that they can do their job when the time comes. And myself, I was also a National Guard soldier as well. We did that type of work too. And then we deployed to Afghanistan. We utilized the skills that we learned while we were out there in Afghanistan. Without all of that training, we would have been in a lot worse situation. So having that support of the employers and the community to be able to afford us the opportunity to not only have that full-time job, but also getting into you know, the training and everything else that we need to do in order to be prepared for these types of deployments and you know, God forbid something happens at home, you know, being able to be ready at a moment's notice is super important. And people like you who kind of helped raise that awareness is, you know, really, I think what helped to drive that awareness amongst the civilian population, right?
Well, thank you. And frankly, I think it's exceptionally important that this work be done for a couple reasons. Number one, the cultural differences are great between serving in the military and civilian life.
That's right. Yeah.
The cultural differences are great. And number two, we don't really have an agency or an organization whose goal it is to educate our citizens about those differences in culture and how maybe to what they can do. It is as simple as being a good listener upwards into how to build an inclusive workforce for your veteran community. Who in job is it, Scott, to do that? And the answer is, I don't know. Right.
Well, it's one of these things where everybody's pointing at somebody else and saying, oh, it's HR's job or it's this person's job. It's somebody's job.
And
right?
from a macro level, right, you know, the two biggest advocate organizations that we have are the Department of Defense and the VA. Mm-hmm. And my position is the Department of Defense has their hands full dealing with national security. And yes, they are doing some mighty good work, especially like with SkillBridge, to try to help veterans, you know, assimilate better and more, or joining forces. I mean, there are some really good programs that our government, our national government is spearheading. You know, there's just at the local level and, you know, on an ongoing basis, who really educates, anticipates, reinforces, supports, and, you know, really harnesses what our citizens bring to the table to help our military connected, primarily our service members, but also their families. Mm-hmm. And through my experience cultivating, creating civilian veteran champions from scratch, people who had no exposure to military service, people who have never served, and that's where the biggest opportunity is, right? My experience is that it's incredibly fulfilling for them mm-hmm. to do meaningful, substantive things for people who do serve. Recently, someone said to me like this, well, it's like they're serving too. If, you know, because like, as you know, Scott, 3 out of 10 Americans are even eligible to serve in the military, right? So most of our citizenry is not. And so if they can do their part, to help that service member excel in any arena of their life, service member or veteran, they feel good. It's fulfilling for them. Quick story.
Sure.
I had lunch with a business colleague recently, new to Arizona, and we were exploring potential partnership opportunities. And she's explaining to me how 10 years prior, at her company, they developed a veteran hiring initiative. And she looked up at me as she was explaining some of the different, you know, strategies they were implementing. And she said, you know what? I've got goosebumps even talking about it now. I mean, 10 years later. Well, why is that? Because she felt like, and she knew that she was doing something important that would really make a difference in the lives of those who have served and sacrificed for mm-hmm. this great nation. And so it's really a win-win. My tagline is join the veteran champion movement and be a part of the win. Not only will you be serving the military connected community in meaningful ways, but your life will be enriched as well. Primary example, you know, when an employer gets a disciplined, loyal, productive, natural leader who is more often than not tech savvy, mm-hmm. right? With core values that are very essential, the employer gets a good worker, and hopefully the job seeker, the veteran, gets a good job because the employer knows how to support, understand, facilitate, and help them excel. That's an amazing win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of equate what you were saying, just going back a minute, to the fulfilling nature for the civilians to be able to support the veterans. I kind of equate this back to my job that I had in the military. I was an infantryman, and all the other elements in the military exist to support the people who are on the ground doing the fighting. Whether it doesn't have to necessarily just be the infantrymen. I'm picking on them because that's what my job was, right? But
yeah,
you know, without the logistics to get the bullets and the grenades and the supplies, everything that you need in order to fight, without those people, we would just be able to go with whatever we could carry on our back, and we wouldn't be in the fight for very long. Including food, right? You need those logistics.
And typically heretofore, to prevail in war, you have to control the land, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so you have to have everything you need to go in there and stay in there and to engage all the other elements of the military to help you succeed, you know, calling the Air Force for those airstrikes.
And that's right.
You're right. It's all pointed on the mission. The mission. We all have a job to do in the mission.
And if you have a soldier or airman, a sailor, whoever, going overseas, and they are worried about what's going on at home because their job is maybe in jeopardy when they get back home, all of these things are going on, they're not going to be very effective on the battlefield where you might need them at that point in time. And they're going to be worried, they're going to be distracted, and other things are going on. And that's when mistakes happen. That's when people get injured or killed.
Yeah.
So having these people understand what it is that these service members are going through, I think, and the veterans after the fact understand what they're going through while they're going through it is really important, because it helps them to kind of cross that bridge, right? So tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing now in your organization and everything that you do.
Okay. I basically have three roles. I am a speaker, I am a consultant, and I'm a trainer. And I zero in on helping employers build a veteran talent attraction and retention strategy in ways that helps make their workforce stronger. Mm-hmm. And then building military ministries inside congregations by equipping volunteers to do that work. Okay. And so I can speak on anything veteran hiring related, veteran champion, what is a veteran champion generally, and or the key role of the faith community in helping our military connected people fully reintegrate and reach their potential.
Yeah, I think I'd love to chat about all of those. Let's start with the hiring side of things, getting the veterans into the jobs, helping the employers understand the benefits of having the veterans in the jobs, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. So again, the value of veteran talent is very well known. I believe veteran unemployment is consistently lower than civilian unemployment. Employers are hiring veterans in record numbers. There's all kinds of creative coalitions and nonprofit organizations that support it, and new government programs that are really focusing in on hiring veterans. And, you know, I think most of these opportunities typically land towards the larger companies because they have more resources, they may have more bandwidth. Having a veteran at your place of employment certainly benefits you no matter what size of company that you had. And I contend that oftentimes veterans get lost in big corporations and are ideally suited to work in medium to small companies. And I believe really that manufacturing is an ideal setting, construction. I'm excited about working with manufacturing companies because we're in our country, we're having a renaissance in manufacturing, mm-hmm. particularly robust here in the Valley and in the greater Phoenix area. And, because veterans have operational discipline and, know how to lead teams and, you know, upskill easily because we're so used to just being train and train some more, and we're flexible and adaptable. I just think, working in manufacturing is great. And so research shows that there can be, you can generate cost savings by hiring veterans because they'll stay longer if they're on the right job, right? Mm-hmm. They love to contribute. And so what I do is help employers understand where to find veterans, how to interview them, how to use the military skills translators to prepare for that interview, how to onboard them, how to connect them through veteran employee resource groups or some other type of committee like that that harnesses their energy and engages them in the problem solving, right? Yep. And then ultimately, ideally for an employer is to get that current veteran hire out in the community, talking about the great place that they have to work and encouraging their colleagues or comrades to come join them. And so that's kind of the ideal A to Z approach. Mm-hmm. And employers really stand to benefit from that, as does the veteran worker. That's where the win-win really happens.
Right. And I think you touched on something earlier, but I think you said the smaller to medium-sized businesses typically are better suited. And before you even mentioned that, I was sort of thinking that same mindset, because some of these bigger corporations with tens of thousands of people, the military, each military branch has tens of thousands of people, even more. They have lots and lots of people, and you may feel like one small piece in the big picture. But a lot of times you get lost in the shuffle, with that, and you may feel like you're just getting lost. Whereas a smaller to medium sized business, you tend to feel more like you have a bigger impact on the day to day, of what's going on. Right. And not to say that you can't have a big impact on a bigger company, but it just feels like per person, let's just say, you tend to have a bigger impact, right?
Well, and the baseline, the foundation is that research says that 55% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans feel disconnected from mainstream America. Sure. Why? Because the culture is so different, okay? Yeah. And so if you already feel disconnected and you go into a big organization of 10,000, well, you may have been in a division, okay? But if you're in an army division, you have a small group in your company and someone who's looking out for you. There's just these structures in place that don't allow you to get lost, so that mm-hmm. the command and the control is clear, how you advance in your, you have an opportunity to build relationships with people that are like you.
Yep.
And so you feel a sense of brotherhood almost immediately, right? You've been through the same basic training. You go through the same training. You just have so much in common. And oh, by the way, most people join because they have a service mentality, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, when you join a corporation, those small unit team cohesion may not be as good, right? And the culture, you just feel so awkward anyway. And so there's really a need for our employers to understand some of those cultural distinctions and help our veterans get connected. Now, of course, it's also incumbent upon the veteran to do their job, to learn how to network, to learn how to communicate with civilians.
Right.
It's a double-edged sword. It's not just all up to the employers. I mean, we have to do our homework and come to the table prepared. And, if you've never had a civilian job interview, it's really weird. It's really awkward. But so, by golly, you got to come up to the table. You got to take on your new mission. You got to find your new purpose, but it's work on both sides.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially when you have somebody who maybe is more humble and they don't like to boast or brag and talk about themselves. Well,
right.
that's what an interview is. That's what you're there to do, right?
Yeah.
So and, get used
and,
to it.
And or more junior,
sure.
younger. And
sure.
so that's how I kind of encourage employers to really try to pull that person out and have good questions that will, because we are not I oriented. We are team oriented.
That's right.
Our philosophy. And we don't self-promote well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because exactly to your point, because a lot of the stuff in the military is done as a team, and you are looking out for other people, the person to your left and to your right, and you're looking to help those people out. So you do have that team mentality. And while that team mentality is a good thing, even in the civilian workforce, a lot of times you find people who are very much in it for themselves. They're looking out for mm-hmm. their own promotion and their career advancement and their bonuses and you name it. They're looking out for themselves, right? And you can't blame them, really. You have to take care of yourself, too. But it's a night and day difference sometimes when you're looking from what goes on in the military to what goes on in civilian world. And it's a difficult transition, I think, to make that leap. But
absolutely.
You know, having the support there to not only succeed in the interviews and get your foot in the door, right? But also having that support where the employers now are aware of the differences and aware of what it is that goes on with the veterans, what's going through their mind, right? And so you can right. kind of maybe make a little more sense over you know, what's going on when someone is maybe acting a little bit outside right. of the normal of what maybe right. everybody else is. Okay, well, yep. why is that?
Maybe what I like sense. To say, Scott, is, you know, come on, you know, maybe you can meet them at least halfway, sure. maybe a little bit more, you know, I mean, but this is really no different from any sort of multicultural or cultural group. I mean, like, I don't really understand the, you know, some of the distinctions of maybe the African-American culture or the Asian culture. Yeah. I mean, understanding difference is really important for us as people, mm-hmm. as Americans, okay, and going outside our comfort zone, like you said earlier,
yeah.
and being authentic to try to understand before you seek to understand before being understood, right?
Sure.
That old saying that is just so relevant and so prevalent, but not just applicable to military veterans. It's certainly applicable to all different cultures.
And that's right.
And the right thing to do. The difference is that when, you know, only 3 out of 10 Americans can serve in the military. You know, if you can't serve, I mean, it's really reasonable that you support those who do, right?
Sure.
And
yeah.
not because in the employer's standpoint. And, you know, not only because it's the right thing to do, but for employers, you get a great worker who's going to make your organization stronger.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, think about a multinational company where you have maybe employees or customers or people all over the world. You may have to understand the cultural differences in,
right.
you know, what's going on in Japan or in Germany or in, you know, in the country.
That's another benefit for hiring military people. We are global citizens.
That's true.
Global citizens, and we're used to working with all different kinds of ethnicities and yeah. cultural backgrounds, and it makes it a very rich experience.
It does, right? But you know, I think to your point, we can kind of think of the veteran community as sort of just one more of those cultures that you have to be aware of, right? And that that you can work with them. Just the same way you can work with somebody from another country. And it's really yeah. not too much different than that. You know, the benefit is they're here in this country and they have a lot of the same shared values. But it's just, there's some nuances, some differences there. You also mentioned the military ministry program, as well. Talk about that and tell us about how, these places of worship can create these military ministries and the impact that they're having on these veterans.
Hosting a military ministry inside a faith community is especially relevant, or the faith community is uniquely suited to house them because mm-hmm. they're very hospitable. That's part of the nature of, right. of faith members, right? Because they have oftentimes other kinds of support services. They're used to maybe counseling or, you know, offering meal trains or, I mean, that's all in the hospitality realm, of course. You know, their mindset is on serving other people. And, you know, certainly spiritual resiliency and your spiritual foundation is an important part of our overall well-being.
Right.
And so, a military ministry, there's no one right approach. There's no cookie cutter approach to developing a military ministry. A military ministry is, you know, needs sort of a volunteer leader, and that volunteer could be a military veteran. It could be a military spouse. It could be a military mom. You know, it does not have to be someone who's worn the uniform, but ideally, it's someone who understands the military mindset, that understands right. some of the challenges of deployment or the challenges of active duty life, and can, you know, has some good leadership skills. And so basically through a partnership with your pastor, your rabbi, your clergy member, this is a partnership opportunity. You bring the people, you identify the military connected people in your congregation, you bring them together, you assess kind of who they are, what their needs are on a very basic level. You ask them what they would like to do, and then you do it. You know, as a leader, you are the facilitator. You delegate responsibilities to your teammates based mm-hmm. on, you know, what they want to do. And you, there's a heavy dose, if you will, of spiritual connectedness in whatever. I mean, you do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to understand, you know, you don't have to have all kinds of, you know, biblical scripture memorized to do this work. You just have to love people and want to bring them together, because it's a beautiful thing, Scott. You bring military connected people together, and they bond quickly, you know. My husband and I started Vet Connect Fountain Hills about 4 years ago now, and we have female veterans, a few male combat veterans, not many, military spouses, military parents, parents of brand new enlistees, and parents of 30 to 40-year-olds who have come back and are struggling. Mm-hmm. We also have others who just want to support the military. And so our group is very eclectic, and sure. What's most important to them is to have socials once a month. We do some community service as the opportunity arises, and as someone in the group is willing to kind of spearhead that. And then we pray during the month, and I'm very active in staying in touch with people via LinkedIn. And you know, really what's happened over time is these people are like our best friends. They're like our social group. And so for everyone, that fosters a sense of belonging, inclusion. And, you know, we do the best we can to be there for one another. You're not there to fix people's problems. Okay. You don't have to be a pastor or a nurse to do this. You just have to love people. You know, be a good listener, mm-hmm. be willing to do a little bit of extra, you know, volunteer work, lean on your pastor when it gets difficult, and kind of have a general overview of what's available in your community for support resources to potentially connect them. And so, you know, just really small things and big things can happen. A small thing that I think is beautiful is one of the military a Vietnam veteran is married to a military mom, okay? And they were new in the community, and her parents had just moved in with her, and they were having a 70th wedding anniversary party, okay? So she invited members of Vet Connect, and you know, that's her community. Vet Connect is her community. So we all came and celebrated a 70th wedding anniversary. I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
Sure.
That's a small thing, but I mean, that just really touched my heart, right? And then most recently, one of our military spouses is struggling with substance abuse, addiction, and she didn't have a place to live. And so one of the other members in our group had created an opportunity for the woman who didn't have a place to live to come move into one of her homes, okay? I mean, that is very substantive. There's also other substantive things that happen, but in the interest of time, we probably don't have time to talk about it all. But those are some of the ways that you can be helpful. Just, you know, providing that connection, being a support resource, and then doing what you can practically to support each other is really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes back to the camaraderie that we all experience while we are in the military. You get that same sense of camaraderie when you come together as a group with shared backgrounds, shared beliefs,
exactly.
things like that. You all come together. And these places of worship, no matter where they are, it doesn't matter the religion per se, but they're they already are set up for stuff like this. There's right. women's groups, there's men's groups, there's children's groups, there's groups upon groups upon groups. They have all sorts of different groups. And so they're familiar with the concept of getting a group of people together, whether it's, you know, whatever the demographic is, getting those people together, and they bond together, you know, whether it's a small group of 4 or 5 people, or it's a larger group of 20, 30 plus people, you know, those people get together and they get that camaraderie, and you start to get to know these people. You start to care about these people's problems, like what's going on, or even celebrating the positive things, like a wedding anniversary, like you said, celebrating and helping each other. As you're talking about it, I was thinking, like, you know, just the way that you interact with people in the military, when you're in the military, is very similar. And so, you know, it gets you back into that. And I think not only does that help on a faith-based level, you know, whatever your faith happens to be, but it has to bring you back on an emotional level too, knowing that there's this group of people who actually care. And there's those people there that I'm getting out of bed for, to go be with these people, and in actually leaving the house and going in and supporting these people and helping.
And I think it's particularly relevant to when you're new to a community. I found that a lot of our members had, you know, just moved to Arizona within the last couple of years. And so it becomes your friend group. And, you know, it's really important, again, when 55% of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans feel disconnected from mainstream America. Yeah. When our Vietnam veterans continue to struggle with some of their trauma and wounds from the way they were treated when they came home. When we've got caregivers all around us who are caring for wounded warriors. When women veterans tend to feel invisible, you know, any way that you can give people a voice, give people connectivity, and bring in the incredible strength of spirituality to help people heal, to help people grow, to give them resiliency. I mean, it's just, in its simplicity, it's magical. Mm-hmm. It's magical. And helping people come to the Lord and, you know, remember that the Lord, you know, loves you and wants you to be there, you know, seek Him. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many powerful ways that you can support people without having the responsibility of fixing them. You know, that's not what this is about. It just takes a little bit of time, takes a lot of desire and love of other people to do your best you can to be there for them.
Yeah. And I to the point that you made about, like, especially if you're new to an area, the military is not unfamiliar with moving from one place to another. And so very frequently people are moving to one location, then they got to move to another. And a lot of times they go to those places, they don't know anybody there. And getting involved in a group like this right off the bat, now you instantly have however many people are involved in that group. You have that many people who now you can talk to, and you get to know these people, you get to know their families and their children and other things like that. And you start to you know, just find your people, if you will,
and
like build your network that way. Right.
Yeah. Well, and before I forget, the first Sunday of every month, I offer a coaching call for someone who has any interest whatsoever in starting one of these inside their congregation. I'll come alongside you and encourage you and give you answer your questions, give you some tips, give you some tricks, educate you about veteran community resources, no matter where you happen to live. There's, you know, generally speaking, certain places you can go to look for certain stuff, help you understand what the VA is all about. I mean, I certainly don't have all the answers, but I have a great background and have been involved in building military ministries for at least 10 years while I was in Ohio, and have studied, you know, I've studied the military culture differences and know a lot about, you know, the veteran community resources and the VA. So I invite anybody who out there who's interested. My email is Kathy with a K and a Y at vanguardveteran.com. It's singular, Kathy at vanguardveteran.com. Or you can look for Military Ministries Matter. Military Ministries Matter is the name of the monthly coaching call, and you can find it on Eventbrite.
Okay.
So that is open to all comers for if you have any interest or are curious about starting a military ministry, I encourage you to get involved and find out more.
Well, that's excellent. That was going to be my next question, is where can people go to get in touch and find out more about what it is that you do? But I will have those links in the show notes for the listeners who are interested in learning more about that. And I'm sure there's information about your, the civilian veteran champions as well on your website. Is that correct?
Yes. And I will send you a couple links so that'll make it real easy for your listeners.
Perfect. And I will definitely have all of those links available for the listeners in the show notes.
Thank you.
So take a look at that. Click through those links. Get the information that you need, that you're looking for. Get involved in groups. If there's no group available where you happen to worship, maybe you're the person who's gonna start this yourself, right?
And you know what? We heal the most when we serve others.
That's right.
When we put ourselves out there, and take the risk, maybe get outside your comfort zone. It's amazing how much returns back to you when you take that step.
In a startling description, the UN food chief warned the world with the words knocking on famine's door. He called what we're facing a perfect storm of a perfect storm. And he's not alone. Barron's published that a food shortage could be coming even in the US. And farmers see it too. John Boyd Jr., a fourth generation farmer, told Fox News that we're going to see empty food shelves in the coming months. That's why getting survival food is more important than ever now. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food kits. It's not ordinary food. We're talking good for 25 years super survival food, hand-packed in a family-owned facility in the USA, and it gives jobs to over 200 Americans. They have different delicious breakfast, lunch, and dinner options, and you can make these meals in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve. And right now, for the next few days, listeners of Drive On will get 10% off their first order at 4patriots.com by using code DRIVEON. Just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to start your stockpile today. That's right. Absolutely. Well, before we wrap this episode up, I like to end each episode with a little bit of humor. And I have a segment, especially when I have another veteran on the show, that I like to call, Is It Service Connected? And it's essentially for the listeners who are not familiar with this segment. It's sort of like America's Funniest Home Videos, military edition. We watch a short video of somebody doing something stupid, and we just try to decide, is this going to be service connected somewhere down the line? It's usually a pretty good time when we're watching these videos. So I'm going to pull up this video real quick so that our guests here can see it, so that Kathy can see it as well. And then we will we'll be able to watch this video on YouTube. For the listeners, if you're not watching it right now, you might want to head on over to our YouTube channel or Twitter or X, whatever we call it now, and take a look at this video. For the folks who maybe can't watch it, I'll describe it as best as I can right now. It looks like we have a soldier who's standing kind of in an awkward position, like he's bracing himself up against a wall. And we'll see what happens here. Okay, so he's just standing here. He's making some hand motions. Not exactly sure what he's doing. And then someone comes plowing through the wall, like the Kool-Aid Man. Just flew right through that wall. I don't even know how he got through that wall, but that was pretty that was pretty incredible that he just, made it through that. I don't know if it was a wall. Maybe it's a door. The video is kind of grainy. Maybe he was trying to kick the door in and just went full on tackle mode on
So the guy bracing up against the wall knew something was coming, right?
I don't know if he knew where it was coming.
But he knew
something was happening. But I'm not entirely sure what. But the guy coming through that door, he may have injured himself coming through. Maybe that's service connected. Yeah. I don't know, but he did come through pretty hard. I mean, that was like a wrecking ball coming through there. So I gotta imagine there's some sort of damage that went on. But Maybe he's tough. Maybe he can handle it.
I don't know. But, you know, if you're a football player, you go through that all the time, right? You're up and down off the ground. I mean, maybe that's true. Is a certain, but, you know, we get hurt when we are wrecking balls. So that maybe there is something there.
I was going to say to that football analogy, though, football players don't have a very long career span, you know, because of those injuries. So, you know, very likely, especially if this person decides to do this multiple times, that they're going to end up with some serious injuries somewhere down the line. So anyways, thank you again for taking the time to join us. I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate all the work that you're doing. Again, for the listeners, I'll have links for everything in the show notes so that you can take a look at it for yourself and see if, you know, there's some support out there that is right for you. So thank you again, Kathy, for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for what you're doing, my friend. Very, very grateful. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.